I'd like to call the meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. I would ask that we all please rise to salute the flag, and when that's done, I would just like a moment of silence for the young man who passed away at the football game also. Please remain standing.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all.
Klimko?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Here.
Noon?
Yes.
McDonald?
Here.
Conry?
Here.
Higgins?
Here.
Thompson?
Here.
We have the minutes of September 1st and September 15th.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on either of those? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 I'm sorry? September 1st. Okay. Thank you. That brings us to a council appearance. Mr. Jay Arrington, you're on. Good evening. Good to see you again.
Good evening, Your Honor, and my apologies to you for the meeting that I missed, apparently.
We'll make it happen again.
No, I won't do that. Got held up in the traffic from Staples. First of all, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, members of the community, members of the council. I want to take this opportunity to thank you so much for the opportunity to stand before you in all humility and blazing with enthusiasm at the same time. What I'm here for tonight is to briefly speak to you all about our project, my nonprofit organization's project, Music Art of New Jersey Incorporated, and our plans for the Washington Theater. As you can see in the business plan that we handed out tonight, I won't take a long time, much of your time, because I have another gentleman with me that has to say something. But basically what we want to do, we want to revitalize this community. And you're probably asking me, why here? Well, at this moment in time, opportunity is knocking on the door of need. And we're answering the door. And it just so happens that it's in our hands as whether or not we want to let opportunity in or not. Our plans for the theater are not to stand pat as it's been in the past, movies, because if that had been working, we wouldn't be here. So our plans for the theater are such. We want to renovate it into a cultural arts and performing arts center, basically meaning we're going to have concerts, which is part of the past, but we plan on doing it in such a manner that we're going to have real concerts, doo-wop concerts, country and western concerts, folk concerts. We're going to have an art gallery showing. We have an executive director of visual arts who is a collector of the arts. You can see her professional summary on the last page of the business plan. She is well-studied and well-versed in the arts. We're going to be holding monthly diversity art programs. Apart from that, we're going to be offering student work-study programs for the local students and the local college students, mentorship, ambassadorship programs, music lessons, dance lessons, vocal lessons. We already have the tools in our quiver to do this. It's just a matter of letting you know and gaining your support. We're also going to be offering to nonprofit organizations in the state and in the area, faith-based organizations, and the local businesses a venue to use when they need a place to use. Okay? We're going to attempt to bring you out of the house and back into the street. An economically depressed area, no offense, okay, needs to be revitalized with a shot in the arm of something different, okay? We know for a fact that past oftentimes is prologue. We don't want that to be the case here. We understand also that you have a bitter taste in your mouth from past experiences. I'm here to offer you a piece of gum to get it out of your mouth, okay? We also acknowledge the brevity and the enormity of this project, the difficulty of this project. However, degree of difficulty is no excuse for inaction, okay? We have, by way of fundraising, we are going to seek in-kind services, high net worth individuals, foundations such as the Hyde and Watson Foundation in Warren, New Jersey. They specialize in dispersing grants for this type of project. And, of course, we're going to be seeking the support of the borough, okay? We anticipate the job opportunities that will come through here through local construction projects and contracts, journeyman contracts, internships, and for students who work during the events that we have. We're also going to need ushers. We're going to need people who are going to be working 3 or 4 days a week, keep them off the streets, keep them from riding up and down the elevators in the building because they have nothing else to do, and running up and down the hallways and the streets, which you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
But we also anticipate, which is really important to the community, is increased traffic in the local business area. Okay? We want people to be, I was in the Mediterranean Bistro after our bid presentation last week, and you know, the ambiance and the atmosphere, very quaint, very nice, but it was empty. Of course, it was Thursday, you know, and, yeah, you know, but still, we plan on having events on Thursday night. We want that place to be bustling. We want the diner to be bustling more than it already is. You know, we want to be able to, for our art residency program, which we plan on having, we're going to bring artists in and put them up somewhere so they can mentor the children while they're here and teach them the whole art competitions and things like that. We anticipate renting properties around here to put up residents when they come into the city. That is another way that the city can make some money, okay? As it concerns the residencies and the design of the building, we are partnered with the AIA, the American Institute of Architects, which is developing a statewide contest for us to get state architects and students involved coming here and offering us renderings for the project. And after we choose that person, we're going to have the community give us feedback on how they would like the building to look. Of course, we're not going to do much to the facade other than maybe change the way the marquee looks and put some very soft and inviting lighting outside because of the historic nature of the building. We don't want to change the facade, okay? We don't want to touch that. But like I said, when we do that, we're going to involve the community. We want your input. We want your feedback on the scheduling, the program. Because after all is said and done, it is yours. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not about me. Mm-hmm. You know, as I said in the other meeting, this is not solipsistic, self-aggrandizing. This is about providing a need, you know. And for me personally, if I'm losing the game, and the coach calls me off the bench, I'm going in because I want to change the number. I want to change the reflection, okay? So job opportunities related to assorted academic programs, residencies, ambassadorship programs. As you can see also on page 8, one of the ways that we are reaching out are through presentations such as this, the one we did at the bid council, and I've also been invited to speak before the Rotary Club on October 26th, okay? As I mentioned, private sector, and like I said, I'm not going to take a lot of time because most of this is self-explanatory. I do want to point, however, to page 10 of the operations section and to give you a projected revenue anticipation. Now, of course, without a crystal ball, I can't say anything with certainty. You know, I'll tell you like I used to tell my customers, I can't promise you what's going to happen to your car. But I can promise you nobody's going to work any harder to make you happy than me. That's the same promise I give you tonight. But We hope to open up by October of next year. Within that first quarter, we anticipate, because one of the things we're also going to be doing, we're going to be doing jazz ensembles. There are two little rooms in the front. One of the rooms is going to be for the art gallery. One will be for, it'll be multifaceted for any type of aside events that we want to have. One of those are jazz ensembles during the week. Okay, we anticipate the ticket prices and the amount that that will bring in. Our generated income in the first quarter, $56,000 in October, $56,000 in November, $56,000 in December. Of course, the October figures are subject to change because we plan on doing a doo-wop concert, the first concert. Those ticket prices are going to be more, $50 to $100. And we have the people in place to do this already. We've got a guy, one of the most prolific jazz, doo-wop performers in the country. You may not have ever heard of him. His name is Joe Katz. If you Google him, you'll know who we find out who he is. But he's chomping at the bit, man. When can we come in and bring the artists in and do this doo-wop concert? Anybody who knows anything about doo-wop in this area, they'll be standing on the top of the diner to hear the people sing. Okay, so we anticipate that revenue changing. But as we grow, as does anything, there's going to be more fruit on the tree. Okay, but this is just the basic outline. Okay, if you look down below, projected expenses, building preparedness, $50,000, that is what we are asking the borough to disperse, to allocate us to get the project going. This will cover building safety, roof, interior, getting people in there to clean the building out because they are, okay? But in the meantime, while that's being done, not only will that work progress the project, but it'll also provide jobs for people, okay? May not pay a lot, but it's better than nothing. I used to tell my daughter, like, Daddy, I quit McDonald's. This was 30 years ago. Why? I wasn't getting enough hours. Well, you're not getting any now. You know? So there you go. But of course, and then of course, building renovation, $1.5 million, that's conservative, if I should say that, because once you get in, you don't know. It's like an exploratory surgery type thing. And then of course, marketing and community outreach, which I have an assistant who specializes in community outreach. You will be hearing from her. Her name is Shara Ann Taffin. She's a project manager for the Rizzo Group over in Manhattan. She's worked at Ground Zero, where she did amazing work. As a matter of fact, this business plan template design is hers. She specializes in this and community outreach. And then on the back, as you can see, there's an outline. There's a listing of the board members, some of our bona fides, just in case you need to know that some of these people, like I said, are really on the ball about what we're doing here. And with that, I'd like to say, if you have any questions, I'm done. Like I said, I want to take a lot of your time. I know you're busy. If you have any questions, I'll entertain a couple of questions. But I also have Mr. Jerry Eben here from the American Institute of Architects. I'd like to take about 5 minutes of your time to talk about their plans for the building.
Okay, let's start. Does council have any questions for Mr. Arrington? Dave?
Sir?
Yes?
Do you have any ongoing projects right now?
We're currently conducting a talent search, which we will be bringing here, that we're doing down in the Patterson area. Been doing it for about a year. We're getting people in to come in. We're getting record companies to come see them, and we're mentoring children in how to do interviews and conduct themselves, and we mentor them once they come to the stage the first time. If they win, they go to the quarterlies. We polish their act for them, help them be better the next time they come on stage. We've had one of our artists already signed with Def Jam Records, if anybody's ever heard of them. Okay, she's 11 years old, and she is phenomenal.
I think the question that I'm trying to get at is, have you done a project like this anywhere else?
Oh, no, this is trailblazing for us. You know, to say the least, I would say we're novices and naive, but that wouldn't be accurate. It just say it was trailblazing, because that sounds more formal.
Okay.
Yes.
One other question.
Yes.
Have you officially purchased the building?
Not yet. But we do have an agreement to have the building. It's a lease purchase option.
Okay.
I don't know, is Mr. Schuman's partner here tonight? Okay, I guess he didn't come. Yes.
The inside, you're going to get that all together, you're going to, that's always your style of the inside?
I beg your pardon, sir?
The inside, you're going to get that all together?
Oh, yes, that's one of the plans. One of our plans, we're going to do away with the movie aspect of the theater.
Where you're going to keep the stage area?
We're going to expand it. We're going to take the wall down in the middle, and we're going to expand it. We plan on bringing the dome back as it was, but we want to reconfigure it in such a manner where we increase the accommodations from 600 or 800 to 1,000 perhaps. And we want to make sure, so we're going to be doing stage plays. I'm a playwright. I'm a singer-songwriter. The president of our foundation is a 41-piece orchestra conductor. He's a playwright. So we can do all of those things. We don't plan on making such radical renovations that it, you know, scares you. Yes?
I have two questions, and one of them rides off of what Councilman Higgins asked. The building preparedness, is you buying the theater contingent on the borough saying that we're going to support that and do the $50,000?
Well, you know, is it contingent upon it? No, but it sure would be a big help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all.
No.
And then the building renovation number, how did you come up with that? Do you have a schedule of values that
you've prepared? We, the architect,
okay.
Which he'll address that.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyone from the audience have any questions for Mr. Arrington?
Yes. I just want to know, you talk about the students and everything coming and getting jobs here. What about some senior citizens?
Everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody. Everybody is welcome to work. Look at me. Don't let this boy Sean fool you. You know what I'm saying? Like I told you on the elevator, I've had 7 heart attacks. Can you tell?
Right, ma'am, you had a good question?
Yeah. We were the ones in the Historical Society.
Hi.
Hi. Do we have any photos anywhere inside of that theater that used to be?
There are some available, yes.
Yeah,
I have seen
was,
it.
You know, I remember as it was. I mean, certainly Jean does. It had a chandelier.
Yes, it did.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, if I had a brochure from the last meeting, I do believe we had a picture of our brochure from the bid presentation that has the chandelier,
mm-hmm.
a black and white photo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we'd like to bring that back. It's feasible.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Had a definite richness to it. Really impressed me. I saw it in 1961 when I came here.
Yes.
Place my husband took me up for a day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Elvis Presley. It was really gorgeous. And they had the loge seats which blocked.
Oh, okay.
She was a bit tall for the other one. And yeah, it was an experience I'd never seen before.
Well, see, we're on the same page. You know, nostalgia without standing pat.
Anyone else have a question?
Yeah, I thought it was.
Okay.
When would you need that $50,000?
I'll take it now. People
you know, you knew that answer was coming.
Hey, I got a wheelbarrow standing by. Look, I got a wheelbarrow standing by. With jets on it. No, but as soon as possible, of course. We do know that it probably won't be until April, maybe.
Yeah.
Probably, if the council agrees. But we are prepared to get someone to come in and do that on the arm, as they say, you know, in expectation of receiving their funds from the council at such time as they are dispersed. Anyone else? Yes.
Are you planning to change the heating system from oil to gas?
Everything is going to be changed. There definitely won't be oil.
No. Okay. It doesn't matter if it's cold in here, even with the oil.
Yeah, so I've been told. I've heard the horror stories. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard the horror stories. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
I'd be very happy to help with anything that's affiliated with art.
Oh, well, fantastic. We welcome that. That's
sure, after the presentation, anybody who wants to help Mr. Arrington,
yes.
Can see him out in the
see
hallway.
In the hallway, I'll get your information and we can get moving.
There you go.
Well, if anyone else, because if that's not any more questions, I'd like to bring up Mr. Eben from the AIA so he can address your architectural questions, all right?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Ed.
Thank you.
One more question before
we go. You want to know where I got my glasses?
You're a smooth talker. You should be sitting up here.
He hasn't lived here for a year
don't
yet.
Don't give me any ideas.
He only has to be here.
Don't give me any ideas.
Have you applied for any grants yet?
Well, I tell you, in all fairness to you, sir, Councilman Higgins, we were held up by our letter of determination. We just got it again because we had been inactive for a couple of years.
Okay.
And our treasurer kind of dropped the ball. We just got it back on the 24th of last month. So we weren't able to, with all honesty, represent ourselves as being something that we weren't through Grant Foundation. But we are working on it.
And like do you have any in mind?
Oh, yeah. I have an exhaustive list that I was supplied to me. And the woman who was in charge of our visual arts, she specializes in that. We are in the process of securing an attorney who specializes in nonprofit grants also, who will be on our board.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good evening, Mayor, Council people. My formal name is Jerome Eben, though you can call me Jerry. Only Mrs. Eckert called me Jerome, and that was my sixth grade teacher a long time ago. So I appreciate it if you can call me Jerry. If you want to address me, that would be great. Up to a month ago, I wasn't familiar with Washington Borough as I am this evening. In fact, my trip out here last month took me to when I wanted to go see the Washington Theater for the first time. I got lost and ended up in one of the other six Washingtons in New Jersey. My guess is that General Washington did sleep in many of the crossroads of our great state, hence the honor of his name on many places. But I did make it here. And since my experience last month, I received better directions from Mr. Arrington, and I completed some homework, which I'm going to discuss with you tonight, to learn more about your wonderful community and the plans. As to sometime, I refer to my own community. I'm from West Orange, New Jersey. I'm a Class 4 member of the Planning Board, and I'm on the Vice Chairman of the Downtown Alliance. And what I'd like to say about downtowns in New Jersey is that, especially here in the historic Washington Theater, we want to bring it back from the brink, and the AIA wants to help doing that. We've done many projects around the state. We are a group of about 2,000 architects that are in the organization. There are about 2,000 more that I would like to bring into the organization, but they don't like to pay the dues, so they're on the outside. But we do a lot of great things for for different communities and different organizations from time to time, and our members are very gracious. I spent some time driving around the borough and the township on the outside. I don't know exactly where the border is. I know that you're sort of the donut hole,
yes,
so to speak. And I've been through Washington. You know, some remembrances come back. And I've been through Washington, but the idea is not to go through Washington Borough, but to stop in Washington Borough. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some great possibilities here that we can do to make people stop and stay a while. Like many old downtowns and Jersey downtowns, the goal is to revitalize your local business district, a vision, or as you said in your own plan, a blueprint or an opportunity for design and redevelopment. To that end, we see resurgence of what many downtowns lost with the development about 40 or 50 years ago of the strip shopping centers and the regional malls. I proudly carry in my wallet a shop downtown West Orange card, which I use almost every day to get bargains on already bargain prices in my downtown. In the 21st century now, we want to bring back the charm and the warmth of what downtowns used to be. And when I was growing up in my community in Union County where I grew up, the plan is to enhance the traditional town center with a vibrant streetscapes, open spaces, ease for safety pedestrian travel, which it would be extremely important and will lend to the success of this redevelopment. This is a classic old theater. That's a facility that's not only showed films, but silent films and vaudeville acts. I recently took my grandchildren to a silent film production with a live music accompaniment of Buster Keaton's The Cameraman. I don't know if anybody's ever seen it, but I am sure it was shown in this theater in 1927. And it's a great movie. If you get a chance, you should go see it. And it's the my grandchildren, who of course had never seen a silent picture, really got the feeling of what a silent picture is, and they love the live music. And I think that's what this group is going to bring. It's going to bring back live music, and that's what the new generation really would like to see. And I know my grandchildren would like to see it. A theater in the downtown is a must. I've been trying to get a theater downtown West Orange for years. Because our theater is on the outside, it's not in the downtown. It lends to bringing people back into the community, the history of the community, the history of art, the history of filmmaking, and a small community life uniquely related to a pedestrian character of this community, which is the solid fabric of the small American community everywhere, and fond memories. Maybe not, you people are too young, but I remember rainy Saturday afternoons in the Mayfair Theater in Hillside, New Jersey. Every Saturday afternoon I was there. So I think that's what the theater's marquee becomes a meeting place and a gateway to adventure. The plan envisioned by this group for the Washington Theater is a mixed-use facility. I think Mr. Harrington just laid it out for you, where we'll have music and art and cultural events. And with the redevelopment of the Washington Theater would come the entertainment, and the entertainment is directly related to other businesses in town, specifically restaurants, specifically shopping in your nice shops along the main area of the downtown. What we're going to do, AIA is going to do, is we're going to put together an event to try to have a competition to see what we could do with this building. I was in the building 3 weeks ago. Mayor, I think you've been in the building probably a couple of times.
Yes.
It's not pretty.
No.
And I spent about 2 hours in the building trying to look around and see what the problems are and what the issues are. Took a lot of notes so that we can start to put together a program of a competition. The main thing that we really have to do is clean up the building immediately so that we can have students and interested parties that want to participate in this competition to do the survey work that has to be done. We can't bring anybody in, we can't bring groups of people in this building until we clean it up. And I think that's where the finance comes from the town. We're going to try to use that kind of money to do that kind of work. It is a great place. It's a great building. It reminds me a little bit of the Maplewood Theater in Maplewood, New Jersey. I don't know if anybody's ever been in that theater. That's from the same year, 1927. That theater was designed by William E. Lehman in 1927. I have a sneaky suspicion that Mr. Lehman designed this motion picture house also. And maybe the historical group can help me. I would love to get plans of that building. If you've got plans of the building, that would be a great help somewhere, maybe laying around. Unfortunately, the Lehman architects, they were in business for about 107 or 108 years, and they're no longer in business. And during this last downturn in the economy, they faded. Mr. Lehman passed away. Mr. Tom Lehman passed away in 1999, and then they lasted another couple of years, and they closed shop. So I would like to see whether the historics or the library or somebody has a set of plans. Even if they're the most decrepit-looking plans, they would be a start for us. We could put together a program where we could have some preliminary drawings to give to the students or to anybody that's going to enter the competition. At least they would have a base drawing. We wouldn't have to do that much additional work in the beginning. As far as the cost to the building, in my initial walkthrough, in my couple hours that I spent in the building 3-4 weeks ago, I did not get to the roof, which obviously is very hard to get to. I know from some of the pictures I saw that the interior of the above the drop ceiling is a stupendous ceiling that was originally designed. Would love to get that restored. As far as heating and cooling, I think the roof looks to be from an aerial, looks to be a barrel vaulted roof. We'd have to think about how we would do that, put some units on the roof to heat and cool the facility. And, rip out the seats, put in new seats where we would need it, rip out the wall between the two, the duplex theater where it was put in probably in the early 70s, and really clean up the place, which is really the main thing.
And redo the bathrooms, please.
Well, the bathrooms are, the bathrooms are really, really bad.
Antique, let's be nice. Antique.
Well, let's, antique. I mean, everything has to be redone.
Yeah.
But it's a classic old building, and it's got a lot of nice things, and probably a nice a lot of nice details above the ceiling.
A lot of character to it.
And a lot of character, and it's right there at the beginning of really what your downtown is. I mean, I drove down in all directions for miles. You know, I know this, your city is not that big; it's only about 2 square miles.
Yes.
So I drove in directions, and, you know, I looked at the odometer to see how far I was driving, and then I drove in some of the streets around, up and down the streets, off the intersection of 30, 31, and 57, just to get the character, the feeling of the building, of the neighborhood, of the city, of the borough, and to see. I saw some really great old architecture, mm-hmm. and when I say old, I don't mean old like old, but classic architecture, which really would be the kind of thing that we would like to work off of and try to help rebuild the city, in a sense. I know that you have had a couple of master plans. I've looked at a few of them. I think some of the ideas are great. I think we can build on those ideas. If you've approved those ideas, we certainly can build on that. We'd work with your zoning officials, your planning officials, your consultants, your consulting engineer for the town. And of course, the mayor, you, and the council. And I'm open to questions.
Okay. Anyone from council have questions for Mr. Edon? No? Anyone from...
I'm getting away free here.
Oh, wait a minute. We got one.
I think Mr. Sloan, Helen Sloan, or Sue Sloan, she might have...
Yes, Helen Sloan built the theater.
You owned it at one time.
You didn't build the theater.
Helen Sloan.
He owned it.
You're too young to build that theater.
I know how to make friends.
That would be good to ask her.
Sue Sloan.
He died, and his widow, Sue may have something.
If someone would just give me the architect's name, if it isn't William Lehman, if it's another architect, and we can...
Sue might
know
that, but she was a second marriage, so she wasn't
the
first
husband.
But she...
If someone can either give me a phone number, or if you can call, I'll give you my number, and introduce me, that would be a great start. If we can get some buildings...
You can call it, I can see if she'll call
it. No, I didn't bring my card, but I'll give you my number. I don't know why. My last name is very simple. B as in boy, E-N. My phone number is 973, I live down in the urban areas, not out here, 902-4900. I answer my own phone. 4900.
Relative check.
No, not a relative, but my father used to have pictures of him all over the house. and I used to say, he spells it differently. But I'm a film buff, and I'm an art buff, and I love arts, and I love film. My son is in L.A. right now, hopefully making some films and hopefully making some money. So big bucks.
There's a number of people who may have some documents of it.
Whatever they have, I mean, even if it's just a floor plan or anything, we can throw it through a printer, if there's something missing, we can measure just that area and connect it. I think the roof is probably a barrel vaulted roof because it's a clear span. And I would say the theater is, I didn't measure it when I was there. It's probably 60 or 70 feet across without the wall in the middle. So to span that in those days, it would have to be some kind of a truss system. So that's what I think it is. Obviously, we would like to know what it is.
Right.
And that would be important for us. So whatever the town has or whatever anybody, Mr. Sloan or Ms. Sloan has, that'll be great.
Yeah.
The Sanborn insurance maps would only have. There should be later okay. Sanborn maps,
yes.
Which would give us some information on the utilities, and it would give us the overview. But we really need the actual building.
I think that it was insured along the way. Would they have anything perhaps from...
That's possible, but I, that's kind of, look, we'll go anywhere. I thought maybe also the New Jersey Historical Society, which is in Newark, and Mr. Arrington and I are going to have to go down to Newark, and we'll see whether in the, actually, William E. Lehman Jr., who's the son of William Lehman, who did all these theaters all over New Jersey and in New York City, he donated in 1977, before his death, he donated his father's works to the Historical Society. So I'm going to go down to Newark. It's not a, it's 15 minutes from my house, one day soon, and see whether they have, whether it was a William Lehman building, if it was, they would have somewhere in their vault, hopefully, some plans. So that's it. But whatever you have or whatever direction you have, we'll take anything you got.
I'll ask her if she has anything else.
And you can give me a call anytime.
You know, I got another idea. That growing up in Washington, we have a Facebook. If one of us just posts on there, because there are a lot of people in town that have records.
Yeah.
Maybe we should put a post on
there. That would be great. And any any photographs, because photographs.
We got a ton of those.
You got a ton of those.
A lot of those.
And when if you're ever down in Maplewood, New Jersey, if you look at the facade of the Maplewood Theater, you would see the resemblance. Because it's the same thing. It's a theater with retail on either side,
okay.
Which is what the original movie, the original building was. There was retail downstairs and offices upstairs, and that's exactly what the Maplewood Theater looks like. So I'm hoping that there's a connection to the William Lehman Group where I can get some plans that way.
I think your partner has a question.
Yeah,
for
I just wanted to address Councilman's Facebook comment. We have a Facebook page for the theater, Music Art of New Jersey Cultural Arts Center at the Washington Theater. So if you go there, if anything you have, you can post it there.
Oh, that'd be great.
We can charge of that.
Okay.
Social media, you can glean that information from there and we can use that.
Okay.
The more you can get the word out, the better.
Mike, are you you're a member of that?
I am.
What I'll do is I'll post something up on it.
Just saying, does anybody have any information?
Yeah, any pictures or information, drawings, sketches?
They're posting pictures on there from when the canal was still in use, so.
Yeah.
Now, I read some history a couple of days ago, and it's, you know, I'm not that familiar with this area out here.
All right, so I'll post something up, a request for pictures, drawings, and things like
that.
That'll
be great.
You know,
that'll
be super.
We don't
need everybody to do it.
Oh. All right. Any other questions?
Okay.
Thank you very much.
No. One more.
The Borough Channel fire inspection.
The
50,000?
Would
they have anything on it? For inspections and stuff?
You might have inspections that go
maybe
back a couple of years.
Yeah,
that would be great.
We could look at him. All right, go ahead, Ethel.
Oh, okay. The $50,000 that you're asking for, what is the breakdown? What is...
You have to ask Mr. Arrington. I'm just the architect.
The breakdown I can provide to you, we didn't put it in there because we didn't want to be redundant, but the breakdown of it is basically for the structural integrity,
mm-hmm.
The roof fix also, clean up the walls, get the fumes out of there, get the stones and the broken up rocks that are down in the basement, in the bowels of the theater.
Can you provide that to us, please?
Certainly, sure. Certainly. And for labor.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a little bit of labor.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyone else? Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Mayor.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
And anyone who wants to help volunteer, please see Mr. Arrington or Mr. Eban out in the hall. Give them your information, and I'm sure they'll be happy for the assistance.
All right. Thank you all very much.
And Ethel, watch yourself. You're real close to the edge there.
Okay.
Now I won't be able to get out again.
You can't
fall.
Get out.
I'd rather you not.
No way, I got my hand.
It'll take just a minute to let everybody clear out who wants to speak with them.
The answer is
Okay, we don't have any correspondence tonight, so that brings us to the audience portion. So I'll open up that for remarks, petition, statement, and testimony from guests. Just come on up to the microphone. Name and address for the record, please.
How's everybody doing? Bob Camerata, Washington Borough Fire Chief. Mm-hmm. Come to you guys with a couple things. In case you're unaware, I'm getting to the end of my term as chief.
Can't close the door. You can't close the door.
Anyway.
Okay.
Trying to tie it from loose ends. There's two things I come to you tonight with. One of them is, we got a member that's going to be approaching, if he's not already there, 60 years of service. Those of you who don't know, Charlie Wright. Okay. We had a plan to get him a proclamation. That's one. And we want to name the alley between the rescue building and the firehouse Charlie Wright Way. I think that'd be a pretty neat gift to give him. 60 years is a long time. We thought about Broad Street, but...
You don't live there anymore.
Well, we thought about the problem that could happen in the event someone who's not from town calls 911, for instance. Yeah, we're on Charlie Wright Way. Dispatch is going to lose their mind.
Especially with Fletcher Wright.
Right. Well,
yeah. Even though there's no houses on.
There's one way or whatever. There's no houses on there. But
yeah.
Plus, there's no houses on this street, on this alleyway. So we thought it'd be the perfect fit. Clearly, we don't want to do this without your permission. So I come to you asking for that permission to do that. Go ahead and get the signs made.
Going to have an issue with that. Send the information to Christine.
Oh, I spoke to her and I told her I would be here tonight.
Yeah, unfortunately, she spent some time in the hospital today.
Okay.
But yeah, send her the information, you know, what you want in the proclamation, that type of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and the request, and, you know, I'll be in touch with her and I'll make sure just nobody objects that you know, she gets on it. She'll be back on Thursday.
Okay, good.
At least that's the plan so far.
All right, well, not the fun part.
Okay. How much money do you want?
Oh, a lot. A lot. As you know, we have one of our engines, it's about 15 years old. Right now, it's currently out of service in the shop, getting another $4,000 worth of work done to it. That's 61. The way I see it, it's got about 3 to 5 years left in it, and that's being generous. So basically, what I'm asking you guys to do tonight is to start thinking about the purchase of a new engine within the next 3 to 5 years. I don't want to blindside anybody and, you know, have to come up to you and, you know,
two years.
Well, it won't be me.
Yeah.
But
just in the ballpark, what kind of cash are you talking about?
Anywhere between $350,000 and $450,000.
Okay. So a little less than half a mil.
Yeah.
Top end.
I'm talking 3 to 5 years from now, so that's probably a fairly decent number.
Okay.
In the past, when we bought, for instance, the ladder truck, I mean, we get what we need. We don't need bells and whistles. So that price may even be lower than that. I can't guarantee that, so, you know, but...
It's a good working number to start with.
Yeah, more or less. So I just want to give you guys a heads up what's going to be coming down the pike, that an engine is going to need to be replaced soon. And my time frame is roughly 3 to 5 years. So that's pretty much all I've got. So.
And then you're replacing which truck then?
I'm sorry?
Which one would have replaced
it? We would replace 61.
61.
So that's the Central States, which was purchased in 1999. So 3 to 5 years, it'd be about 18 years old, and that's pretty much the lifespan of an engine. So.
Okay.
Well, thank you for your time. Everybody have a nice night.
Chief, real quick. In our schedule tonight, we're going over a sample ordinance from Hackettstown regarding the fire pressures in Mayors. I don't know if we can stick around, so we can pick your brain on a few of those issues.
Yeah. I'll stick around.
You mind?
Well, I mean, I got to pick up my son. Actually, I really can't.
Okay.
I'll be honest with you, I probably wouldn't even be the right person to speak to about that. Reason being, it's a forestry service issue.
Okay.
We get these calls, forestry shows up, and it's, you know, do they have an open burn permit, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. The whole impetus for this coming up tonight was the fact that a gentleman came in. It wasn't so much what they were burning or if it was in the proper type of chimnea. It was the proximity to a window. And that's something that I thought maybe you guys had.
I wouldn't know what the if there is one, an ordinance in place or a law, what would it have to be to a window, to be honest with you?
Yeah, we, anything we come up with, too, we submit to the fire department, the fire official for comment.
All right.
So, I apologize.
That's all right.
My wife's on vacation. Well, it seems like she's away on business, and I got my son. I have to pick him up, so.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Bob Smoller. I am a resident of the borough for many, many years. I'm at West Warren Street. First of all, I want to applaud the council members here who have mentioned the $50,000 cost. And also, one of you mentioned, is it contingent? Is this project contingent upon us coughing up the money? I applaud that, because we all need to think about that. Also, I would like to mention that perhaps it might be wise if we obtained one other or maybe two other estimates, just to see, to get an idea, because we really want to, we don't want to have a black hole here. It's great to have a project that sounds good, but we want to make sure that we won't get into $50,000 and then another $50,000 and another. I heard $1.5 million mentioned somewhere, but maybe I was imagining that.
No, that was a number in there.
Yeah. I wish I was imagining that. And roofs, by the way, I know what it costs for a small homeowner's roof.
Yeah.
And so I can't imagine what, if it needs a whole new roof, that would all be covered by $50,000 with everything else. But anyway, I'm just... one or two more estimates might be prudent. Presently, it's my feeling, as someone who came here in the 90s, that I've seen taxes, well, they haven't gone down. And I'm not sure that, I'm sure that's where the money would have to come. And so if it does, and all these other things happen, and it doesn't end exactly as planned, then if taxes go up, will that hurt residents and businesses? And next, is it possible to put this before we commit to a vote, like in November or something like that, which is not that far away? I'm not sure if that's possible.
We couldn't do it for this year. Yeah. I believe that has to be in by August.
So probably had to do it for the primary next year. That would be the earliest, I guess.
Yeah, they don't normally do that type of thing in a primary because totals are so low, and you know, if you're not affiliated, you're not going to vote.
Yeah.
They do, but the issue is our budget is finalized before the vote, before the primary.
It was just an idea.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I'm back. My name is Harold Warren, and I live at 107 Humans Avenue. I last appeared before you on September the 1st to discuss code enforcement. I cited code violations of weeds and obnoxious growth, as well as litter on private property. At that time, I provided the manager with photographs of the violations, as well as a tax map showing the owners to be Rossi, the Jewish Center, and the Railroad Avenue Apartments. I'm back so that you may learn how the violations were dealt with, and secondly, to make you aware of a far more serious problem involving the Jewish Center property. First, since the code officer works for the manager, and since in the September 1st recap, she noted the violations as part of her to-do list, a brief update may help the council better understand how code enforcement works or does not work in the borough. Now, Christine is not here, but I can do it for her. I know that code violations on both Rossi and the Jewish Center properties have not been addressed. And while the Railroad Avenue apartments did cut some weeds at the intersection of Railroad Avenue and Park Avenue, they left behind the litter and garbage. Ignoring violations that have been reported seems inappropriate to me and something I believe the council should address. This should not be difficult since council pays the salaries of both the code enforcement officer and the manager. Also, council should be providing guidance regarding how you want the borough to run. Council does have significant power should it choose to use it. It's up to you, but I would like to point out that your lack of direction regarding the borough becoming a dump is a major problem. Curb appeal is important if you want to attract business, and it's crucial to persons seeking to sell their homes. I realize that there are many problems that are difficult to correct, that also impact property values, but code enforcement does not need to be one of them. Allowing garbage to remain in unauthorized area attracts more. The sofa that's been sitting in front of the old Krausers with garbage on it has been there for a long time. The weeds behind the old bank are expanding, and garbage that is there now includes two mattresses. That's a new addition to the garbage. I could give you many other examples of indifferent code enforcement, but if you ever go downtown, you'll see them for yourself. My final point, and the one I should have addressed on September 1st, is far more serious and involves the water right-of-way between my house and the Jewish Center. Since the dollar store opened, the right-of-way is being used as a road, while at the same time, pedestrians and students use it as a walkway. Also, children from the apartments play in the area where the weeds are taller than they are. The apartment residents use the mowed area between the weeds as a footpath. Because of the weeds on the Jewish Center property, there is zero visibility for vehicles entering the right-of-way from Humans Avenue. The right-of-way from Fisher Avenue to the Shabbaton Creek is 16 feet, but the entrance on Humans Avenue is 28 feet. It narrows to 16 feet at the end of my property, and it's a 90-degree turn. So you've got 16 feet, cars going this way, and cars going this way. Okay. It is used by the cars exiting the dollar store, and both vehicles have to make a 90-degree turn. Cars treat the paved area as a real road, and despite limited visibility, seem to be unaware or unconcerned about their speed. Occasionally, some actually skip the 90-degree turn and go straight across the grass to the apartments. I urge council to take the steps necessary to improve the appearance of the town and to do what is necessary to ensure the safety of the residents, pedestrians, and drivers using the water right-of-way on Humans Avenue. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
I have already asked Christine. We're supposed to be putting signs for it to be one way coming out of the Jewish Center driveway. That is supposed to be taking place, but she's short of staff, so that's going
to happen. That would be a big help, because when you enter it from Humans Avenue,
right,
you cannot see at all where the 90-degree turn is.
We have already addressed that, and
good.
We got the okay to do a one-way coming out. Coming out to do it.
That's even better, because
right,
then the weeds aren't that crucial.
Right.
But the issue of code enforcement not being enforced when it's brought to your attention, something's wrong with that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Charles Bodie, and just a couple of thoughts. I thought it was a wonderful presentation on the Cultural Arts Center. I listened to Mr. Arrington enumerate numerous benefits that would be derived of the community. While it's always important that you weigh your investment, it seems to me that it's unreasonable that you put it to a vote of the town. Also, any suggestion that it would have a negative impact on the tax base would be folly. I can't imagine such a de minimis amount impacting the tax base. If $50,000 affected the tax base, we have more problems that we need to worry about. So I just wanted to say that while I heard many benefits that would be directly delivered to the community, while you have to be careful in your consideration, I firmly believe that $50,000 is warranted seed money, given that the benefits that would be derived and the benefits that would accrue to the community. Thank you.
Hello, Penelope Griffin. I live on New Bowl Court. In regard to the new proposal to build up the theater, I think it's an excellent idea. I think it would be negligent for us to think anything else of that. If we look about the resources that our children don't have in this community, like we don't have after-school programs, we don't have these things here that we really need, and I think the children are suffering. So if anything, we need to get the ball rolling on this to make sure the children have a place where they could work, they have after-school activities, and a place where they could go. And we have a lot of creative kids here, too. They want some place to go to. Can't tell you, like, Friday night, kids are at Kathy's Cove singing. Like, really, because they need a place to go. They need a place to be able, and their parents to be able to interact with them as well. So I think it would be a really good idea to get the ball rolling on this project and to make sure, at least if it's for anything, our children would have a place to go and a place to be free and a place to have some type of revenue, a place for them to get out and to do things. So I think that's one thing that we need to think of. The other thing is that we had the festival last Saturday. And through that festival, I signed up to be a part of the family support organization here in Warren County. And I've been getting feelers to go out to the meetings. And yesterday there was supposed to be a really important meeting about how to talk to your children about drugs. And I think that it's something else that we need to address here in the community, and something that's not addressed often at all. And I think that we really could cut that. If people knew more about that meeting yesterday, they wouldn't have had to cancel it. So people could go out and learn how to talk to your kids about drugs, because it is happening here. And again, with that theater, I think that's going to cut into a lot of that behavior that we're seeing from children in the community. So that's it.
Thank you. Get your name again, please. Penelope Brecker. Hi, my name is Sonia Ron, and I live at 107 Park Avenue. I have to say, this is the longest place that I've ever lived. I've had my children go through the lower school, the middle school, high school, and now in college, and I made Washington my home. So whether I have school-aged children at this time or not, I'm very aware and very concerned about our community. Mm-hmm. We have an incredible drug problem here in Washington. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, at least from where I'm looking at, or where I'm standing, I don't see enough being done to change that. I think that the arts program that they might be doing, that may certainly be a start, so that, you know, we can get more of the kids involved, because we really have no place and nothing for them to do. And let's be honest, more drugs, more crime, everything goes down. Who wants to open up a business when they have to deal with being held, you know, being held up on gunpoint? That's just unacceptable. And I could move, but I don't want to. Mm-hmm. Mayor McDonald, you married me here in this room. Mm-hmm. You married my son here in this room. This is my home, and you're all my neighbors. And we have to, you know, together come up with something, because it just cannot keep on going this way.
If you're interested, on the corner here, Community Prevention Resources,
mm-hmm.
Community Hope, no, not Community Hope, but they have the Hope Over Heroin in the windows. If you are so inclined, they would love to have volunteers. You know, even if you can only give an hour or two a week to do something with the kids, they would love to have you.
Absolutely. Help. That's my job. I work with kids.
Okay.
And there's a lot of things going on and open and available right now, but they're not working. And when something doesn't work, you don't have to reinvent the wheel, but we have to try something different. I mean,
they'd love to have your ideas too,
you know,
I'm sure.
And another concern is police presence. I don't see enough of it.
Well, there's plenty of police presence.
Well, I wish somebody would tell me where they are.
You know, I see them downtown all the time. I see them on my street. I see them by the school.
Maybe they drive by your street, but you're the mayor. But they certainly don't drive through mine. My street is in such bad disrepair that the potholes are going to be bigger than my property pretty soon. And I don't rent. I've actually bought into this town.
But you're where the EPA is doing their thing, so...
Well, they're up to a certain point, and I did touch base with Marie, and she was able to tell me that, yes, they are going to finish.
Yeah.
Hopefully that'll be true.
Yes.
I have to see it to believe it.
That's the plan.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Dave, do you have a finish time for the Park Avenue at all?
No, as a matter of fact, I talked to Dawson tonight. Dawson is going to be in contact with Christine tomorrow.
Okay.
Well, she's not going to be here tomorrow.
Yes, so Thursday.
I'll contact Dawson again tomorrow.
Okay.
So,
I have a question for you.
Sure.
I don't mean to interrupt.
No.
Lieutenant Peter here is from Washington Township Police Department. They provide our coverage. I'm getting the feeling that a lot of people on your street feel the same way that you do. Have you ever contacted the police department to say, hey, listen, we'd like to start a community block watch?
There is one around the corner of my house.
There's a block watch there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm, we have one.
Second by the police department or the police department?
And, you know, I've had, you know, contact with the police. My concern is not with them.
Mm-hmm.
I've had positive experiences. We just don't have enough of them. We, you know, and seriously, I'm sorry. I mean, you know, I just feel like this is the first meeting I've ever come to. I see a lot of people coming up here. You know, I see concern about coding, but code's not being enforced. You know, we're concerned about the drugs. We're concerned about, you know, police presence. But I don't hear any answers from all of you. What are you going to do about it? Because I tell you, this is my first meeting, but it won't be my last. And I won't be alone. I've already come with people today. So, it's like my grandmother used to say, when I get stubborn, I'm like a mule. I sit down and nobody can get me up. So, I want to hear from all of you, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do?
First of all, what I'd like to do is explain our form of government.
Okay.
Because it's not what you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If it isn't, I'm concerned.
Okay, well, it's not what you think.
Okay.
We are a Faulkner Act form of government.
Okay.
We are a professionally managed town.
Right.
The council, although we are elected, is not allowed. We are not allowed by law to get into the day-to-day operations of what goes on in this town. You understand where I'm at so far?
Yes.
So our job, according to our form of government, is to legislate, and that's pretty much it,
right.
An act. The day-to-day operations of what goes on in the town is up to the mayor.
Yeah. Okay, so you're the person?
No, she's not.
I'm filling in for her.
Okay.
I'll get you more copies.
I think what you're doing... you know, the concern that you show is great. And I can't tell you for how many meetings we sit here, and Pastor, you'll attest to this, that there's only three or four people here.
Exactly.
The concern of the town to even know what's going on in the town. You talked about being held up at gunpoint. Did that happen
here in Washington. Not to me, but to a business.
Yeah, the Exxon station.
Right down there from my road.
Yeah. That was a year or two ago. That's like about the only one I can think of.
How about the, I guess, the pizza place? I think they were robbed and held up too.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting fact. Sometimes we're not sure.
Okay.
You know,
no, I mean, so then what you're basically telling me, and I'm sorry to interrupt, is that there's no point for me to actually be in this meeting just to speak to the manager of the town?
No, mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Because if I don't know somebody who's getting held up at gunpoint, somebody needs to come in here and talk about that.
Yeah.
A lot of what we can do is we can give direction to the manager as a whole.
Right.
We meet twice a month.
Okay.
You bring concerns to us, we can direct the manager to address those concerns.
Well, I hope you do.
But we can't tell her how to address
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely. We can't tell her how to do it because...
How do we know what happens after that? I mean, I'm asking because I don't know.
The manager gives a report. If we, and that, you know, you can see in here that there are action plans or what's it called? Notes that she has to do.
Recap.
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 Thank you.
Right.
Recap. And the only thing that we can do is continue to harp on those recap items to say, was this taken care of? How was it taken care of? You know what I mean? We could say that Ms. Ron came to the meeting with this concern, we directed this to happen, where is it at right now? And is she informed, are you informed of how it was taken care of?
Okay.
We can do that. We will do that.
Are you all going to commit to me as one of your neighbors, as one of the people who live in this town, that you're going to address those things?
Yes, absolutely.
And when should I be able to hear that? Within 30, 60, 90 days?
You should be able to hear it by the next council meeting.
Okay, I'll be here.
What it was that was done
is followed up.
Here's another thing that you have to understand, though. Crime is their job.
Right.
That's not our job. We can pass codes and say, hey, you can't have drugs within, 2,000 feet of the school zone. But it's their job to make sure that it's being enforced. And these guys, I don't know if you're aware, you guys saved somebody's life the other day.
Well, that was in the township, actually.
Pardon me?
That was in the township. The art.
In the township or whatever.
Yeah.
It's almost a weekly encounter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether it's the borough.
So, and I understand.
Maybe we can get from the police department statistics as to how many drug arrests were made.
Well, on Nixle, they have that map.
Yeah.
Is it on Nixle? That shows where the activity?
It's on the Facebook page.
It's on the Facebook page.
I give it to Christine, so anyone that accesses the borough page can do it.
And I believe when we had the meeting in regards to the shared services with Mr. Seipel, I believe the chief mentioned in the last year or two you've shut down 26 drug houses, is it?
Yes.
So, I mean, there is activity, and it is in the police reports that these kind of things are going on. Now, sometimes they're not really apparent if you don't know what you're looking for. They have CDS and controlled substance instances, and it's for the township, the borough, and Oxford. It's not broken out. It is there.
I don't doubt the bravery of the police.
Yeah.
My son is actually going to be a state trooper in Texas. So I understand all that. I understand their sacrifice, and I'm grateful that they take their lives in their hands every time they walk out their door. That's not my complaint. My complaint is that whatever it is that we're doing, all of us together, instead of being so segmented, we still have these issues. We still have these problems. So, and they've been growing. It isn't something that just popped up last year. They've been progressively. I've seen it as I've lived here. I've been here for over 15 years. It's a totally different place than when I first moved here, when there were after-school program for my kids. They're gone.
When there were funding left for them.
I mean, there were so many things, and so many, things that the kids were involved in, and I see it all, a little bit at a time, just being eroded away. And like I said, I love this town. I've made my life here, and I don't want to see it become another,
I've looked into a number of things. You can't find mental health support here in Warren County until it becomes an emergency.
Yep.
Because funding's been cut. Community prevention resources can't do more because their funding has been cut. You name any entity, they will tell you, we'd love to do more. There's a lot of things we could do. My funding's been cut. And it's become from federal and state. We can't make that up.
Well, is it possible to put a committee together that could at least think out of the box and see if there are some issues, if nothing else, to do with what kids can do after school? Because that's a major problem. There you would solve a lot of our crime and a lot of our drug issues. I mean, at least an exploratory committee, maybe. Something. That's just a thought.
Yeah. There isn't any reason that can't happen.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, and I look forward to seeing you at the next meeting.
Yes.
And please bring more.
Mr. Teeter, would you like to kind of address any of that?
Just this is my first meeting I've been to. I've been sent here by Deputy Chief Cicero to be a liaison for our department. It's your department too. Don't forget that. I'm going to be here one meeting a month. So to touch upon what Mr. Rahm said, I'll be able to be on a better page with with all of yous and address some of the issues, be aware of it now, rather than just hearing it through third party. I think it'll be a benefit moving forward here, and I look forward to it. I also want to comment that the community here, I've been an officer for 22 years. Since 2009, August 1st, we merged with the borough, and I've gotten to know a lot more residents of the borough, and I'm proud to say that. It's a great community. John here has been doing wonderful with the bid, and we've been, pretty much hitting on all cylinders with the police department and his functions. So I appreciate all the input you guys have had, too, with that. Touching on Mrs. Rahm's concerns is, I think that a lot of the heroin problem that we have here, I'm addressing that specifically, is starts at home. And that seems, the 22 years experience I've had, I see the home structure just not being there, and the kids are kind of looking out to the other groups of kids, and they're getting in with the wrong crowds, and that just goes from there. I always say you don't see a old heroin addict. You just don't. We have Narcan now. We're constantly using Narcan. We've had the same person 5-6 times in 1 year that we bring back to life. Mm-hmm. You know, it's repetition. And that feeds, I think someone here mentioned, that feeds into other crimes, you know, because a lot of those people don't have the money, the funds, to provide their addiction. The other thing is a disconnect, and Mayor, you mentioned it, with the mental health issue. There's a big disconnect between our job and the mental health. For emergencies, we bring them down to the hospital, an hour later, they're out. And whether
this doesn't keep them anymore, does it?
No, they don't keep them, and that's for more mental health, but even addiction problems. There's like I said, it starts at the home. They have to want help, and a lot of them, they don't want help, and there's really a disconnect between the court system and the rehabilitation.
Mm.
You know, rather than sticking the people in jail, they need rehabilitation, which is not enough, in our opinion.
Mm.
You know, it's unfortunate, but we don't have control of that. That's a court system and higher up than we are.
Yes.
So, with that said, I think that, you know, maybe an exploratory commission or something like that, it might be a good idea. But, again, it starts at the home. You know, these parents need to know. I run into a lot of parents that don't even know who their kids are with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not coming home on time. They're 15, 16, 12 years old. They don't have phone numbers of where their kids are. They don't confirm where they're at. And it's sad. And those kids I see over the years go downhill.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, the side that we see, I do see the other side. Us as a department see the other side, and this is a great community. And we are all proud to serve.
Yeah.
I just want to say that
every community has its issues.
Yes.
Drugs are not unique to Washington.
This drug issue is low by the standard in the United States. It's an epidemic nationwide. So
yes.
I think that the majority of the community just need to hold together and make calls when you see things going on.
Mm-hmm.
And while we've made a big impact, a huge impact on drug dealers, there's always someone to fill their spot.
Yes.
So, but I'm here every month to answer any questions or concerns.
Will you be here the first meeting?
And usually the first meeting I will make, yep.
Okay.
And if you need me for a second meeting that month or whatever, just have Christine reach out to me, or you can contact me, and I'll try to be there for the second meeting.
Okay.
It's absolutely a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much.
Any
questions?
Thank you. Don't even take baskets.
I read text.
I just like a comment. Do they patrol the quick check over here?
The one in the borough? Yes.
It needs a little bit.
Yeah. I. Everywhere kind of needs a little more patrol, but unfortunately we're kind of, hunkered down with the call volume that
right.
we have now.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say that we don't need more guys, but we're doing the best we can. We understand the issues. And
I know you used to have a camera across the street watching the quick check parking
yes.
lot.
Okay.
Is that there anymore? Or?
No.
Oh,
but we have other cameras in the area that are there.
Maybe one could get put in the bid office to look over there?
Right across the street.
We have been working on some grants, soft target grants through the Homeland Security,
okay.
and we're still waiting to hear from those. They provide such things as campers, downtown area, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
On a regular, say, a Friday or Saturday night, what's the ratio? How many officers are designated to the borough?
We always have 1 to 2 that will be in the borough, but at any time we have, I want to say about 60% of the time, we have all our officers in the borough.
That includes...
But they're controlling your township, but I'm talking about how many are designated to the borough township to patrol.
One to two, it depends on the scheduling.
So there's your answer, that you have one to two, and they're busy patrolling downtown, the park area. It might be difficult to get out to all the little streets within the community to do all the patrolling when they're downtown on Friday, Saturday night.
Your busy times, like, to the spring, to the school?
It depends on what days. It's pretty consistent throughout the year of when our busy days and our busy timeframes are. And, you know, we wanted to address the breakdown that you guys had brought up last month, at the last meeting. Some of the breakdown cannot be broken down anymore because of the way the county does the CAD system, the computer-assisted dispatch CAD. It's not the same as what we log in at our headquarters. So you might get a walk-in for a warrant at our headquarters or a complaint, a domestic or something like that. It's a borough call, but it's going to get logged in the township because that's where it came in at. So it's not consistent with the way the county dispatch works. That's why that's not broken down. It's really impossible to break that down. And I responded to Christine with an email.
I remember
stating
I forwarded it off to all of us, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I might be able to break down alarms and EMS calls because that's very specific to an area.
Yeah.
But the other ones are just so inconsistent, it's difficult to do. So.
How's the street program come?
The pedestrian safety?
Yes.
We're in our last week of it, and it's been really going well. I noticed just driving around, a lot more people using crosswalks. And it hasn't just been drivers that have been warned and issued tickets. It's been the pedestrians also. We had 2 weeks of a warning phase where we handed out brochures, and then we had 2 weeks of enforcement. And then we took, I think it was 3 weeks off, and now we're in our last week of enforcement. And I'd like to, you know, I think going forward here, I think we'll do a little non-routine
spot checks.
Enforcement, just to keep people on their toes. No pun intended, so. But it's been our pedestrian traffic as far as jaywalking is down compared to August when it kicked off. Any other questions?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And Mr. Mayor, once you go into executive session, if you need me to stick around, I'll be glad to. If not,
we don't have an executive schedule for tonight, so
thank you. Thank you.
John Monteverdi, Executive Director of the BID. As everybody knows, last weekend we did the festival in the borough. It was an attendance success. Mm-hmm. We had no incidents, negative incidents. We had a lot of positive incidents, which are nice. We had a terrific police presence. The young lady who worked the crosswalk, she was a dynamo. She never left her post. I don't know how she did that, but she was wonderful. So.
Yes.
Depends. Yes, I guess it was depends. She was right there till midnight. We kept, right till midnight, making sure everybody was safe. Mm-hmm. I understand we only had one flipped over pickup truck, but that was something else. So I'm very pleased with the way it went. Foot traffic in the businesses on Main Street was very high in the restaurants, not so much in the retail. I've got to figure out a way to get the people who come into the borough for these festivals to come into the storefronts. We're not there yet, but we're working on it. The next big thing is the fundraiser. You all know about that. That's the 29th, Thursday before Halloween at the Mediterranean Bistro. That's followed up by Hometown Halloween, and then we have Hometown Holiday. I've met with Santa Claus. He's alive and well and is ready to go. And that's it. Any questions?
When's the meeting start for the Hometown Holiday?
I'm sorry?
When's the meeting start for the Hometown Holiday?
I don't know. I'll have to get back to you.
To the mayor, Mr. Council.
Ma'am, would you give your name and address?
My name is Mary Jordan. And I live at up on 31, between 31 and 57. I want to address about the crosswalk. That crosswalk that go by the clock, the light used to flash on that where there, you know, they could warn the drivers that there is a pedestrian walk there. I wait sometime about, I don't know how many minutes to cross that crosswalk because cars are flying by. They don't stop. They see you standing there. The lady almost got hit today because some car come right past her and didn't even stop. And she said to me, what's the use of having a crosswalk if you can't, you know, you can't jaywalk. You're not supposed to jaywalk, but you have a crosswalk, and you can't even go across it because cars don't stop for you because that light don't flash. So what I want to know is if they're going to fix that light right
there. The whole thing is going to be redone.
Uh-huh.
Dave, do you have any more information on that?
No.
Okay.
We're going to start probably early next year. That's going to be, that crosswalk is really wide.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be narrowed up. The lights, those lights are manufactured, they're made for systems that are used in California, not
mm-hmm.
in New Jersey. And what happens is the valves that they have that you walk between that activate the lights, a lot of times what happens, they get dirty, they get damaged, and it won't set the lights on.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're going to take that whole system down.
Yeah, we've tried to fix that 3 or 4 times.
Mm. But there's two crosswalks. There's one by the Methodist Church. There's one by the clock, and there's one up there by the Methodist Church.
Mm-hmm.
And they never stop. I mean, you have to wait until they decide to stop for you to cross the crosswalk. And I approached one officer, and I said, don't they have a camera there that they could, you know, film if somebody's going, you know, illegally, will not stop for a pedestrian to go across the crosswalk when it's supposed to be legal for a pedestrian to walk across the crosswalk, but they don't obey the law.
There's a lot of that.
And so I wanted to find out.
And that's part of what that pedestrian crossing that Lieutenant Teeter was talking about was for.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, when they see it,
mm-hmm.
they give out a summons, but mm-hmm. they can't be there constantly.
We actually have 2 officers out there today under the grant working,
mm-hmm.
but again, there's a lot of different crosswalks. And I think what the public don't realize is the way the law is written, you have to actually step out into the crosswalk off the curb until your protections kick in and they're supposed to stop. So if you're just standing mm-hmm. on the curb and they're going by, until you step off of the curb, you do not have to stop. So
that's dangerous.
That puts us in a predicament because I understand what you're saying, but on a law side, for us to be able to write the report, you have to be able to be in the crosswalk when they consider in the crosswalk, and for them to have to stop.
See, this is where the lady almost got hit today because she stepped out,
mm-hmm.
and this car didn't even stop.
Mm-hmm.
And she's saying, did you see that? I said, yeah, I saw it. I mean, you have no right of way. You have no say because your life is online because somebody, you have to step out before they realize it's supposed to stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's dangerous, mm-hmm. you know?
Do we have any, like, temporary signs that we can, like,
the state provides signboards as part of the transit options when we started the program. I know they're not out there now, but it basically said pedestrian safety ahead, and we stopped hundreds and hundreds of cars and handed out brochures that show all the what the laws are and what the fatalities are on a yearly basis and whatnot.
Right.
We also give them to pedestrians.
Right, but you know how they used to have the ones for the middle of the street that says pedestrian crosswalk?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if we could put them in our, the one by the cross and the one down by the church, just temporarily or on and off for a little bit, maybe it'll jar people's memories what driving 101 was in their handbook when they got the driver's license and how they learned how to drive.
That would be
mm-hmm.
something up to you guys whether or not
right.
you want to purchase those. Something like you're talking about on Belvedere Ave down
correct.
By Carlton.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Because
and
when
then
the drivers see them, they kind of go, oh, and they
yeah. It's really just one more sign for them to ignore in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I work at an intersection on the bridge in Easton, and I watch people walk out, and I watch
even me, dressed, you know, in cops type of uniform with a big yellow vest on, they stop this close to me,
right,
you know, when I'm out there.
But they still have a Belvedere Avenue with the one corner
Belvedere
Crossing. Sometimes
they do. Yeah, I mean, for those who are inclined, yes, it will work. Those who aren't inclined, it doesn't apply to me.
But you know what? They can't be there 24/7.
Yeah.
You can't have a pedestrian getting hit. So maybe we should look into these signages that we can kind of move all over town and just kind of do a reminder to people, like,
yeah,
we do need to yield to the pedestrians. It's not going to hurt anything.
John, you had a comment about that?
There's a crosswalk by the Methodist Church. I met with the Reverend Jean, and we requested to have one of those middle-of-the-road signs.
Right, yeah. Right,
we have one at the mid-block crossing. The problem with the mid-block crossing is it's very difficult for drivers to see where the crosswalk is because it's all bricks. But the one up by the Methodist Church, we're going to put one of those middle-of-the-road signs. I also noticed that the speed limit sign coming off of 31 into town blocks the big yellow crossing person sign. And you don't see it until you're around the top of it. That's not an excuse, but the crosswalkers cross hatch, you should be able to see it. It's just that if we can maybe move that 25-mile-an-hour sign, that you'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to contact DOT about that.
Taken care of, you'll have two yellow signs and one middle-of-the-road sign by the Methodist.
Well, maybe if they need to let out there, put it. You have to pay attention to those
things. Yeah,
okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Urban Block 9, Mount Pisgah AME Church, 169 North Lincoln Avenue. I'm not saying that we're not happy that you finally paved the street.
I'm saying to you, 15 years.
Keep coming back. But we all knew what was going to happen after you paved the street. We now have the Indianapolis 500. We have 10 children under the age of 15 on that street. You did request the sign for the speed. They put the sign in the middle of North Lincoln Avenue. They didn't put it at the end. And it stayed for a couple of days and then it disappeared.
Is that the one from the police department?
The one that says,
Your speed is?
Your speed is.
Oh, okay.
It was requested. It did happen, but it stayed for a couple of days, and they put it in the wrong section. So not only do we have that, but we now have the buses that have figured out that it's a nice road, and they're hanging a left, and they're barreling up the street. We have folks that come from the canal at a higher rate of speed, and they're New Jersey tags, Pennsylvania tags, and they just fly through. And I know we always say things take time. You hit a child, there's no time.
Mm-hmm.
And we said we can't put speed bumps. No one said anything about the inverted bump.
Did
the gentleman, I talked to him, and it went over his head like a flying saucer.
Really?
He kept talking about the water runoff. I'm not concerned about the water runoff. Literally. We did get the light fixed.
Put a little speed trap there when you're...
What I'll do is tomorrow I'll request a sign to be put up by 159 in that area, and also we'll set up a focus radar up there for, you know, a week or so where guys do have time to go up there and enforce it.
We haven't said anything to the school because that was such a touchy situation between what happened with the driveway and the paving.
We'll send a letter to the school. How's that?
It's not, it's the buses, it's people who come out, it's folks come out at the end of the day. It's whoever feels like driving up that street. And again, we said we knew what would happen once the road was paved. We expected it. The question is there consideration, possibility, that we could actually do removable speed bumps right between the juncture, either that or an inverted bump? That would have to be on the other side. But can you do a removable speed bump so that during the winter you can lift that thing up and put it away and then bring it back?
Is this going to go in and out all the time?
No, it's
No, you're not hearing me.
Take it out.
Take it out for the winter, and then bring it back.
They do make them. They're flat, they're like,
mm-hmm.
they have a composite.
Yes, they do.
And they get nailed into the ground.
Yes, they do.
Lieutenant, do you have any insight into that? So whether that's allowed?
We had speed bumps up on Peak West Road in Oxford, and it was nothing but problems, unfortunately, with emergency vehicles and whatnot. Mm-hmm. They really should, I would recommend consulting with the emergency squad, fire department. They had equipment falling off the trucks, they had gone through fire calls, they had, you know, all the way to where the medics are trying to put an IV in someone in the back of the rig going through the ambulance, and they're having issues. You know, they hit these bumps, all their equipment goes. And that's the downside of it. They can slow people down, but I can see where it's negative, too.
But is it, do you know, aware of the legality on that, on a community street?
Of emergency vehicle coming through that street.
Peak West Road, Oxford, had to take them out, so maybe if you contact Oxford, they might be able to tell you a little bit more.
Okay.
I'm not trying to be difficult, but we're talking about the junction between the canal and the end of the road. How many emergency vehicles come through that we had to take the chain down? They took the chain down. They finally trimmed back the bushes, which are growing back up again. And it's just a nightmare. But I don't know how many vehicles come through there, because if they do, I mean, I can see a fire truck coming through there because they're heavy enough. But another vehicle, you're going to have to come in, bank right up on the grass, to beat the pothole and swing back down and around. Now, the cars are doing it with their craziness, but I can't see, I don't know what the rate of traffic is. I see a police car coming through every now and then, more then than now. But
well,
the other vehicles, I mean, it's really a concern.
Here's what I'm going to do for you. Here's what we're going to do for you. We have news with the spring.
Come again?
We have an in. So we're going to use that in with Mr. Prater, and we're going to talk about the inverted speed bumps on their property. And I'm sure that we can make contact with him tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. And the other piece is the progress on the mirror on the other side of the Wells Fargo Bank exit. It wasn't that another one was needed on the right-hand side. We're going back to the issue of people.
Yeah,
you can't see. You can't see coming out of there.
Yeah.
The sign is so small. Nobody. There are a whole group. It's this little sign up above the mirror.
Yeah,
and if you're in the far lane coming out of the bank, you can't see that sign because you have to pull so far forward to see what's the traffic that's coming around the corner.
That's part of them being able to have that drive-through. They were supposed to put that up there. I don't know if we can go back and require them to put another one up.
No, there's one on the left.
Yeah,
that doesn't help you because there's no left turn. So it's really you need one on the other side, on the other building.
But we can ask them if they can take care of that.
Yeah, we have to see if Christine sent them a letter and or what their response was.
The Wells Fargo Bank, a sign
on the right-hand side or a mirror on the right?
It's a mirror on. It needs to be across on the other side.
So
that's the sign shop or the pizza shop or wherever that advertisement is underneath.
It's
the property owners.
On the end of the building.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see to make a right-hand turn.
Mm-hmm. Because if there's nothing there, you have to inch out, and not only do you block the sidewalk, but you stick the nose of your car out far enough that if somebody's flying up the road, they're going to get hit.
To go right,
because you can't go left.
Even though they go left
and hit you anyhow. I've had that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Lieutenant? Are you talking about the mirror coming out of the drive-thru?
Mm-hmm.
That mirror is mostly meant for the sidewalk traffic and pedestrians. So when you do come out, not for clearing your way to pull out of the highway, but so you don't come out and a bicyclist flips
right
over your front of your car.
But even then, you can't see that.
Right.
You can see it from this side, but the mirror doesn't tell you what's coming out past the building, or cars, pedestrians, or anything. There's nothing that you can see coming from your left, because it says no left turn.
I'm saying the mirror's not meant to
I think we understand what that mirror is for.
Right, I understand what that mirror is for. That's what I'm saying. I don't trust that mirror for anything, because you can't see.
Yes, that and vice versa.
But we're saying there really needs to be something on the other side, because you really can't see coming out of that.
But is it not where we have now expanded how many parking spots in front of that bank because of lack of the proper markings of the curbing when there's only supposed to be, if I'm not mistaken, two parking spots or three parking spots in front of the bank?
Two.
Now we go from the corner all the way to that parking spot, so if we have those properly marked down to two spots that are supposed to be there, you have adequate vision to see out of that parking lot to left. Because now people are pulling right up to the parking lot. If they're parking backwards,
right up to the driveway.
You have adequate space to see coming out of that lot.
DOT is not going to mark that because of it, and that was in the process next year.
Right.
It'll be lined again next year. I mean, we can't say that we need to get that taken care of, because it'll take 16 years. No, ma'am.
I assume that I will retire here by the time we have all of North Lincoln Avenue completed, so it's okay.
Wait a second. I live on Flower Ave, so I feel your pain with people flying down the road. I'm actually glad that we're not paving it after hearing what you're saying, because I know that that happens. People get on the road and say, oh, wow, look, there's no potholes, and I'm just going to gun it.
Yep.
But one of the things I can tell you is, and we won't even let our kids play in the front yard. It's just, we don't. I'm afraid that they'll even go down the driveway and somebody will hit them. You solve one problem by paving and you create another. And I think that if you go with the speed bump thing, you're going to create another problem, because the sound of the vehicles bouncing up and down, especially if you have buses going up and down that road, it's going to drive you nuts.
And I don't know if it will, because the church is here. We run the yard all the way to the end in the parking lot. On the other side, you have a house and you have full yard. I don't know if we're willing to trade sound for safety.
I just think this, my opinion is, we need a heavier police presence. That's the only solution.
Right.
Police need to be there. The signs got to be up. We have to focus on it.
Again, we're talking at the end of a block.
Well, I have a long stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And they make their way through that long
stretch.
Yeah,
they stretch. I don't even go down the street any longer.
And he can contest to that. That they bow through that way as well. That's why I asked to put the one-way sign with a dollar store so that they can't come out
swing
like
around.
That,
right.
Because there's a house right there
and
where children
no,
are.
And at this point, once we move to the next phase of our projects, there's nowhere for them to go.
Mm-hmm.
If there's something in the road, they're either going to hit the fence
mm-hmm.
that's going up for the parking lot after it's redone,
mm-hmm.
or they're going to fly into somebody else's front yard,
mm-hmm.
trying to avoid something when they shouldn't have been flying through there in the first place.
Right.
Here we go.
The paper was replaced, right?
Our sexton took care of it before your guy got there. He was waiting, and he saw, he took care of. You can still replace it. We'll hold on to it in case something happens. Come on. I'll back up. Thank you.
Deborah Franklin, 145 North Lincoln Avenue. I am right on the corner of North Lincoln and New Street. They do not stop on New Street. We were supposed to stop to make the left or the right. No one's stopping. They're just coming around.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. So I just wanted to address that. Someone really needs to address that, because I can see it. I sat there on the porch like, oh my God. Because you know, they do not stop. So that is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to address that.
Anyone else?
Motion to close the audience portion.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? We have two reports this evening.
Motion to receive.
Is there a second?
Second.
Just so everyone is aware, on the one from the Office of Emergency Management, you see the dates of 9/26 and 9/28.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually 8/26 and 8/28. That was a typo.
Okay.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Do we have any committee reports?
No.
Okay, we have a sample ordinance from Hackettstown regarding the fire pits and the chimneys. Has everybody had a chance to look those over?
Mm-hmm. So that looks good. The only question I had is I know that this gentleman who had come to speak to us mentioned the distance from the houses.
Yeah.
But I don't know if
that's something... This doesn't address that,
yeah. This doesn't address that, and I didn't know if that was something that would normally be in fire code.
That's why I asked
you. Already?
You do it.
So that would be the only thing, is maybe we need to show that to our fire...
Mr. Bashir, have you had a chance to look at this sample ordinance?
No.
Okay. I'll have Christine get a sample to Mr. Bashir, so, you know, we'd like to get your comments on it, too.
Like the fire official.
We could. We could do that also.
Yeah.
Yeah. And code is, you know, going to take care of itself.
Just to see if there should be any minimum distance from a structure for what, I think that was the question.
Especially when it's your neighbor's house.
Well, I don't think his thing is so much of the distance. Was the way the wind blew, it was blowing in his window,
right.
And his neighbor was burning the carpet. I don't think there's anything that anybody could do to stop that.
No.
Yeah.
Wind blows.
But he was also burning things
other than
wood and kindling.
Right.
Wood. Construction debris and things like that.
He even said when it's wood, he's still getting it in his house.
Right.
Yeah.
So this addresses what you're allowed to burn. It just doesn't address any kind of a distance from construction.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was something that should be in an ordinance of this sort.
That's
but clearly Hackettstown doesn't
that's
have
something
an
that
ordinance.
The code enforcement officer and the fire official can take up.
Mm-hmm.
See if there's anything that they can do for that.
Mm-hmm.
Or any suggestions they can make.
I think we're overregulating firewood. That's my personal opinion.
Think what?
We're overregulating.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy.
Yep.
When we get a phone call for an open burn, the fire department is dispatched, correct?
That's correct.
There are regulations, but there are already state regulations concerning fire pits and chimneys, right?
Correct.
Yep.
If there is a violation of what the state says, they are issued a summons, correct?
It could be.
Okay. I think we're reinventing here.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if there's already something about this, Then do you need this? If this doesn't even address the distance.
Okay.
You know, because this doesn't address the issue of how far, but there's other codes already that do.
Chapacon Townhouse Express, you're sitting out your backyard, you and your husband on a fire.
Right.
But the wind's blowing and flowing into the unit next door.
Right.
So we can't enforce that if the wind's blowing through the window. I don't know what else to say. We can't be Big Brother here with a huge big thumb.
Right. And what I was saying is this doesn't even address the issue that
citizen
has. So I mean it's clear, but I feel like there are already clearly regulations in place about what you can and can't burn, because I know that you can't have an open fire, you can't burn brush without this.
Correct.
So.
I
believe it's in the state code, but you can't.
It may be, but as the fire official and code enforcement look at it, they'll be able to tell us that specifically.
Yeah. That would be helpful.
Okay, and we may be reinventing the wheel, and in that case, you know, we'll know that too when we're done talking about this. There's nothing else on that. We'll go to new business.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Best practices review and approval. So I'd accept a motion to approve our best practices worksheet.
I'll make a motion.
Second it.
Okay. Is there any discussion on that? Just so everybody knows, this is something the state of New Jersey requires us to do.
Mm-hmm.
We have answered enough questions in the yes category that we will be eligible for 100% of the state aid.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't answer enough questions, yes, they could withhold state aid, but we will be eligible for whatever they decide to give for next year.
Mm-hmm.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Let's do 157 and 158 together, redemption of tax sale certificates.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion on either of those? Roll call, please.
Noon?
Yes.
Henry?
Yes.
Quinto?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Let's do 159 and 160 together. Approval of items of revenue, one for clean communities, one for recycling tonnage.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion on either of these? Roll call, please.
Connery?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Klimko?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. Okay, 161, 2015, which will establish the suggested curfew for Halloween. Halloween hours would be October 31st, 3 p.m. till 7 p.m.
So moved.
Okay, is there any discussion?
Curfew takes effect from October 28th through November 1st.
Now, it's a suggested curfew. Does that mean that there's no enforcement of it? It's just a suggestion?
We do enforce it. We'll bring the child home to their parent. We give them a warning first. If it's a second, we have a logbook that we actually keep track of the second offense and the summons or ordinance position.
So that is enforced more for just kids wandering versus if children, I mean, if somebody had a job or things like that nature, that's not enough.
Yeah, we don't, yeah, exactly. We don't go out looking for it, but if we have an issue, it's with the curfew in effect, it is easy to rectify.
Yeah, and establishing a full-fledged curfew, the ACLU has challenged that many times, and it's more hassle than it's worth. We've been down that road.
Okay.
Based on the title, I would remove suggested from the second whereas. The resolution imposing a Halloween curfew. And down there where it says establishing suggested, I would remove suggested from the text.
Did we not have issues with that once before?
Well, listen, it's no.
I seem to remember a discussion about that, and I don't remember what it was.
No, I don't think so.
And I think it had to do with, you know, is it an actual curfew and is it challengeable?
It's a temporary curfew for specific reasons, so it is allowable, correct? Yes. So I would remove.
What if we change suggested to temporary?
Temporary would be okay with me, but as long as we move.
I mean, the only reason I would be uncomfortable changing it is because it's in bold. I mean, it seems like that's why I asked about that. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's there for a reason, that
because
it's a suggested curfew.
This is a template. That's why it's handwritten up there, 161, 2015. This is the one we always use, and the dates are changed. I would go with temporary curfew.
Okay, who made the motion?
I did. I seconded.
Okay, are you both acceptable to that change?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
To temporary.
Although regardless of what this says, you guys still enforce it the way it states.
Yes.
Okay, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? We have one on our desk tonight, 163, 2015. Cancel receivable balances and corresponding reserve balances.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on this one? Let's have a roll call on that one, please.
Connery?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
Klimko?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Vouchers.
So moved. Second.
Okay. Any discussion on any of the vouchers? Roll call, please.
Connery?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Everything except fire company registered for us.
Klimko?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
And McDonald?
Yes. Okay, what did we give you to give to Christine?
I have a couple of these. Mary McDonald will post on Facebook requesting any pictures or plans for the theater. The borough manager will contact the DOT about the speed limit sign by the Methodist Church blocking the crosswalk sign. Lieutenant Teeter was going to put focus on the North Lincoln Ave near the Mount Fisca Church. I'm not sure, Mr. Higgins, who's going to contact Mr. Prater? about the inverted speed bump on North Lincoln Ave?
Senator Dougherty.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Do I need to have that then? I thought that was from you guys.
Sorry.
Okay. The borough manager will provide the code enforcement officer and the fire official with a sample of the ordinance for the fire pit and chimeneas regarding the minimum distance to the structure. And she will also change the word suggested to temporary in Resolution 161-215.
Should we follow up on the debris in the properties of the synagogue?
On
the
Jewish
synagogue.
Okay.
And stuff still
there.
The rock is bothering us.
Show me what it is.
Okay.
Railroad apartment.
Mm-hmm. All right, got it.
Can you also put in there a letter to the school about the bus traffic and the speed on the road to the average?
Mm-hmm.
The street. And she already did send a letter to the bus driver, right? About the mirror?
I believe so, but I can't swear to it.
All right, well.
Yes, she did.
Put in there to remind you, too, to put that. Just I know that he's going to say something, but for her to contact the police department for you know, more patrol over there on North Lincoln.
On North Lincoln.
Put the sign up there.
Okay.
But where it should be put up.
Okay. What was the reminder?
It should be by the Mount Pisgah Church property. Is that right? Where did you want the speed sign? Usually they start speeding now right at the library.
At the end of the library property, roughly.
Super specific then.
So we do have certain areas where it can and can't go, though, so we just have to make sure it can fit.
In that area.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to follow up with you. Okay.
That brings us to council remarks. Ms. Connery.
I received correspondence about the state of the roads of Nunn Avenue, so I'm just going to pass that to the members of the street committee, but I just wanted to mention that a citizen sent me an anonymous letter just with some information about paving and drainage problems and things of that nature. So okay. I will pass that to the street committee.
Mr. Honor, I have no remarks. Mr. Higgins.
Why, yes, of course I do. Just a refresher, can we leave a note for the manager to find out what's going on with Mr. McGuire on Green Street? Sidewalk. He was here this evening. It hasn't been done yet. And he's concerned that when they pour the concrete, that will freeze, and he doesn't want to make sure in there. Chemicals.
Okay.
So. Also, if the manager can contact the engineer to find out when we're going to start paving the 7 roads that we authorized. And just to give everybody a little bit of history on the council and nonprofit organizations. It's a great plan. Years ago, the council decided that it was not the responsibility of the council to decide whether tax dollars went. So all contributions to nonprofit organizations, i.e. Planned Parenthood, the War Memorial over in Belvedere, the Adventist Hospital in Hackettstown, and there was a couple more thrown in there, were not what they weren't donating. And that was because of, again, what the council had decided is, should we be giving away tax dollars? So I just want everybody to consider that. I mean, you can go back and check it all out. versus what benefit we're going to reap from this versus, you know, the idea of giving away tax dollars to a nonprofit.
I remember the conversation. It was mostly because, you know, there was no definitive plan to use those dollars in town.
No, there was a Planned Parenthood on the other side of it.
Yeah, but it did. I think the thing was that they couldn't prove anything that was definitely beneficial to the town. It was going into their general coffers, and that's what a lot of it was against. This one is it's a little different, but yeah, everything else you represented there is absolutely correct.
More consideration
than that. Yeah. It has been our policy to not give donate tax dollars to charity. Anything else?
Yeah.
Ms. Klimko.
Also for the manager is property of School Street and Pond Street. The gentleman was in today. I happened to run into him in the municipal building today. That was over a month ago regarding damage that was done from the water company project. That property has not been repaired, either one of them. Also, once the paving's been done, there's been no curb painting.
On that same street?
On Taylor Street.
Okay.
And I know there was a few officers out there telling parents they couldn't park, and their statement was, no curbs are painted yellow, we can park. So that needs to be addressed. Also, find out from the borough manager, when are our signs going to be going up to the town?
I was just getting ready to ask about the sign on Newman's Avenue.
On Newman's Avenue?
No, it's not.
Where? She'll know if I just get that, she'll know.
The one-way sign.
Yep.
The sign, she'll look at it twice.
Signs and the same feet and horse. And then is this time clock going to be activated and up and running? And the last thing is, I don't know if they can address, we decommissioned last year on the handicap. Not all the signs have yet been taken down. Whoever on the curb has been changed from the paint. And I think we have four. Either three or four that need to go up. These families have been waiting now for almost 2 years to get these handicapped in front of their property. And there's no reason why they should be done.
But others were taken away, like others
were
removed?
They have not been.
Okay.
All of them have been decommissioned, but not all the signs
gone.
Have been removed from the old ones that are decommissioned,
okay.
And there are new ones that have been approved that have not gone up yet.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right, thanks.
I want to make a motion that the time clocks be installed within 30 days or the council be notified in writing as to why not. Why they haven't done
that. I second that.
Any discussion on that? I don't know what it's going to do, but all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? I'm opposed. Any abstentions?
30 days.
Got
a hand
cramp yet?
Yeah. All right, got it. No, that's good.
Anything else? Mr. Thompson.
One thing. I'd like to thank Mrs. Higgins and Dawn and Robin. They went around town and put up all the ribbons, asked for no money for nobody. I think it looked nice and it's appreciated.
I would just like to say congratulations to John on his first festival in the borough. I know you were nervous as could be and really concerned that everything would go off well. Overall, it was a wonderful time. I congratulate you on that. While Robin and I were manning the booth, Robin was in contact with someone who was getting signs for Evan Murray, which we put up. And again, thank you, John, for allowing that to happen. Robin, thank you for you know, getting that to happen and, you know, consulting with me on that, and...
It was the right thing to do.
It was.
And I had excellent help.
I believe Jimmy and the Parrots made mention of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there not another band that made mention of it, too? I can't think of their name.
Jersey Girls.
There's the Jersey Girls made mention of it, you know, so I thank them for the recognition for the tragedy, and that's all I have. I would accept the motion to adjourn if there's nothing else.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?